Great to have everyone with us. Several visitors today. We're always honored by your presence and would invite you to come back and join us again. We are close to Easter Sunday, which will be next week. And so I want to look this week at what happens the week prior to the resurrection and Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. I want to go back, though, and look at something that's significant. As Houston just read for us about Jesus riding in on the colt that had not been ridden and what the significance of that is, because the Gospels record it for us in prominence. And so I want us to go back to 1 Kings and see where we first see this in 1 Kings. And I think there's a lesson in this for us. You remember there is trouble among David's sons within David's lifetime. You remember Absalom tries to take the kingdom away from David and is killed because of that. And David has many great strengths, but being the greatest father in the world is probably not David's greatest strength. And we'll see that actually in this passage. But David has now gotten old and feeble and cold. And in fact, you remember Abishag is a beautiful young lady whose job it is to wait on the king and keep him warm because he's gotten older. And as I get older, I'm not as old as David was. I understand that. You know, I have to grab an extra quilt on these cool nights, try to stay warm. But so David now is old, and Adonijah, the second son, the son born after Absalom, decides that he will set himself up as king. And Joab, who you will remember, who is David's military leader, and it is Joab who kills Abner, who is Saul's leader, and it angers David. Joab is not of the highest character in the scripture, but he and some of the priests and many of the folks follow Adonijah as Adonijah sets himself up as king of Israel. After they have a parade, then Adonijah goes and offers large sacrifices to kind of seal the deal of him becoming king of Israel. There's just one problem. It's not God's plan. Adonijah is not who God has selected to be king, nor is it David's selection to be king. And so Nathan the prophet, who had not followed Adonijah, and it is Nathan the prophet who had come to David when he had sinned with Bathsheba, if you will remember, and tells David the story about the man with the one pet sheep and then the man with all of the sheep, and he has visitors come and he takes the one man's sheep and slaughters it, and David becomes angry and Nathan says, "You're the man." Well, it's Nathan who comes to Bathsheba, who is Solomon's mother. Now, the child conceived illegitimately in the relationship between David and Bathsheba dies. That child dies, as you remember. But Solomon is the child of David and Bathsheba. And David had said, "He will rule on my throne." And that was God's plan. And so Nathan comes to Bathsheba and says, "Do you know what's happening? That Adonijah is setting himself up as king." Now, Adonijah throws this party, this inauguration, if you will, and he does not invite the high priest and Nathan the prophet and those who had not followed him and the temple guard, nor did he invite Bathsheba or Solomon, invited all the rest of the family. But he knew what he was doing was wrong, and so he didn't invite any of them. And so Nathan says, "Bathsheba, you know what's going on." And he says, you need to go to King David and say, David, did you not tell me, did you not promise that the kingdom would go to Solomon? And Nathan says, when you go and talk to David about it, as you're talking with him, I'm going to come in and confirm what's going on. All right, they've got this choreographed. And so she goes in to David, who is older. David is glad to see her, and she says, you know, King, did you not promise that Solomon would have his conversation? Then Nathan comes in and is announced and says, King David, have you done something that you didn't tell the rest of us about? Have you made Adonijah king and we just don't know about it? And he says, no, Solomon's going to be king. And so he tells Nathan and the priest to go and anoint Solomon king and to get a donkey, one of his donkeys, and ride Solomon in to be inaugurated or to be anointed king. So there is a significance that Solomon rides in on this donkey, on this colt, to be inaugurated king, because that's who God has chosen. And so we're going to pick that up in just a second and move to the triumphant entry. But I'm going to tell you the rest of the story. Don't you want to know the rest of the story? Because, I can just leave you hanging. And something Bathsheba says to David as he's going to anoint Solomon king, if you don't do this, as soon as you die, what's going to happen to Bathsheba and Solomon? We're going to be considered enemies and they're going to kill us. You know, because we're a challenge to the throne. So they're going to kill us. And so they take Solomon and they anoint him king. And the people are all rejoicing. And they hear the noise. And so a runner runs to Adonijah. And Adonijah says, such a good man, you've got to be bringing me good news. And he says, I'm not bringing you good news at all. He says, Nathan and the priest, because of your father, King David, they have anointed Solomon king. Now guess what all the people who are gathered for the inauguration of Adonijah do? They scatter. Because guess what? They had bet on the wrong horse. And so they scatter. This party was over. The new quickly had run off of the crystal chandelier. They were gone. And so Adonijah goes and grabs onto the horns of the altar, you know, to beg really mercy of Solomon. And so there's a conversation between Solomon and Adonijah. And Solomon says, as long as you act uprightly and appropriately, I'm not going to have you put to death. Because Adonijah figured, I had attempted this coup, if you will. Solomon's going to kill me as I would have killed him. And Solomon says, I'm not going to do that. But then Adonijah cannot leave well enough alone. I mean, he escapes being assassinated, if you will. And he goes to Bathsheba and he asks her, because of her influence with Solomon, to ask Solomon if he can have Abishag, the beautiful young woman who had taken care of David. This is after David dies. If he can have Abishag as his wife. This is inappropriate. And it immediately disgusts Solomon. And Solomon has Adonijah put to death because of that request. So Adonijah had an opportunity to fly under the radar, if you will, and behave himself and survive, and Adonijah can't do it. And so Adonijah is put to death. But Solomon, as you know, becomes king because that's who God had chosen to be king. It looked like it was going to be Adonijah, but it wasn't. It was Solomon. Now, let's move up to Jerusalem of the first century. Jerusalem of the first century. And we've got now Jesus coming into Jerusalem as Passover is going to occur. And so we have this prophecy of the Messiah coming in on a donkey. And we have this illustration of Solomon rising to king, riding on this colt. Now, who did Solomon follow? Y'all can answer the question. Not rhetorical. David. His father David, right? Solomon is king after David. And the Messiah from the prophecy of the Old Testament is going to sit on whose throne? On David. So are you beginning to see the parallels? And so Jesus comes into Jerusalem riding on this colt just as Solomon had ridden on the colt as the fulfillment of prophecy. Here comes Jesus riding into Jerusalem, and the people begin to sing praises and to put down palm branches and to put down their coats for this colt to walk on to honor Jesus, excuse me, as he comes in. Jesus comes into Jerusalem as the Messiah and as the King of the kingdom. Jesus comes in as the King, and that's what they recognize. On this Sunday before the resurrection, and we call it Palm Sunday, or some do. The biggest thing I remember about Palm Sunday, and I don't know if it goes on anymore, the Palm Sunday paper sales. You remember the Palm Sunday paper sales? I preached one Palm Sunday in Hickman County. And so I had to drive that day through Franklin, take, you know, 96 all the way to 100, then take 100 and go through Fairview and East and all of those. And guess what? Every intersection you went to, they were selling papers. I went through more paper sales that morning than the law allows. But it's Palm Sunday because Jesus makes what we call the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. The King. And Jesus is King. And we're going to talk about a moment what that looks like. I'm mindful of the clock. So Jesus comes in the people recognize who he is. What I want us to recognize for a moment is Jesus comes into Jerusalem as the King of the kingdom that's going to be established. Very often at that time, and in our time, it often seems that evil is going to rule and win. Doesn't it? Doesn't it seem like that which is dark and evil is going to take over? Just like as David gets sick, it looks like Adonijah is going to be king. I mean, he has powerful people who are supporting him. He has some popular support. The timing seems to be right. He seems to be doing everything correctly. But there's one problem, and it's a major problem. And it's this, that wasn't God's plan. It wasn't God's plan to be Adonijah, for Adonijah to be king. It looked like it was going to happen. Politically, it looked like everything was in place for Adonijah to ascend to the kingship, but it's not God's plan. And so, what plan was successful? God's plan, right? Solomon becomes king because that's who God wanted to be on the throne. Who is going to be king? Who is king of the heavenly kingdom? It is Jesus because that is God's plan. It's really the theme of the book of Revelation. And that theme is this. It's the same theme as the good old westerns that I like. And that is at the end, the good guys win, right? The good guys win. The guy in the white hat wins at the end. Well, the theme of Revelation is, while there are trials and tribulations, in the end, God's people win the great and ultimate victory. The same thing is true about God's plan for the kingship. It looks like at times that evil is gaining and growing and getting stronger, but we know that it is the Messiah, it is the Lord Jesus and His people who are going to win the victory. There's no doubt in who's going to win that. And so Jesus comes in on this donkey the way Solomon did, and the people recognized him as the Messiah and as the King and with victory. Now, Jesus, in the night before his arrest, teaches his disciples a very important lesson. Do you remember what it was? Do you remember they're all gathered for the dinner, the Last Supper? They're all sitting on one side of the table, ready for the picture. And what has nobody done? Nobody has washed feet. They're all planning for the dinner, but nobody wants to be the foot washer or make preparation for the foot washing. Because it's just not the most glorious thing, right? It's beneath them. I'm not mad at them about it. We're that way, right? From the time we're kids. What job does a kid always want? The next job up, right? You know, they want your job. Everybody else's job looks better. So what does Jesus do? He gets up and puts a towel around his waist and he washes the disciples' feet. And the lesson of that Jesus says is who wants to be greatest among you must be your servant, right? He must humble himself and wash others' feet. And what a great lesson there is. But the anticipation on Palm Sunday is for the Messiah to come in and establish his kingship in a glorious way, to sit on David's throne and return Israel to independence and wealth and prosperity. But God's plan and the plan of God the Son is to be a servant and a sacrifice and to die on a cross for the remission of our sins. That's the plan. That's what Jesus intends to do. It's totally different than what we would anticipate, just like his birth was totally different than what you would anticipate of a king. But it was the ultimate in service. It was the ultimate in sacrifice. And next Sunday, be back with us, we're going to talk about the victory of resurrection. But today we want to talk about the sacrifice that the king, the Messiah, came to give himself for us. Because there has to be sacrifice for sin. And we'll pick that up next week. The sacrifice for sin. But on the Sunday before the resurrection, Jesus rides in to crowds praising him. And in just a few short hours, just a few days, instead of praising him as Messiah, what's the crowd going to be yelling? Crucify him. Crucify him. But all of it is God's plan to establish the kingdom and his reign on earth as it is in heaven. And Jesus willfully gave his life. It was not a defeat. It was a victory. Because Jesus humbled himself and gave up his divinity become a servant, and then to be exalted as king. Jesus comes into Jerusalem to establish his kingdom and to pay the ultimate price that you and I might have forgiveness of sin. Jesus was not defeated on the cross that Friday afternoon, but Jesus gave the ultimate sacrifice to overcome sin, to become the payment, so that you and I might be justified in the eyes of God, that we might be purchased, that we might be redeemed, and that we might be heirs of eternal life in the eternal kingdom that Jesus is preparing for us. If you need to respond this morning, would you do that while we stand and sing?